So,
dude, people do some nasty shit in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Why, are you the kind of person that if you're getting a shot, do you want doctors to count down? Or like if something as painful is about to happen, do you want doctors to like count down? Or do you just want them to like go do it?
Just do it.
Yeah, me too. Like I want to be surprised. Like I don't want to be like, I don't want to work it up in my head and overthink it. Just do it.
Yeah. Like piercings. They'll like count down. I'm like, just don't count down. Just do it.
If you're going to count down, then trick me while you're counting down. One.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So when I was editing last week's episode, I don't know if I've already mentioned this to you or not, but I'm going to mention it again. I forgot what the word was, and I kept mispronouncing it. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, shit. What was it?
It was something so stupid, too. I forgot what it was, but I kept
mispronouncing. It was the one that I kept on correcting you on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I wasn't, like, I just, like, was ignoring your correction. It's because you must have, like, froze for just, like, a millisecond.
Oh.
And I didn't hear what you were saying because, like, I'm, like, listening back on the recording while I'm editing. And I'm like, I did not hear her say that. Because I just, like, blatantly ignored
like,
you.
I kept on saying it. And I'm like, all right, whatever. If you want to say it the wrong way, then go for it. I was like, she's probably mad at me. She's probably annoyed that I'm trying to correct her, but whatever, it's fine.
No, because I was talking about it with my mom today. She's like, when you mispronounce things, it's the funniest part of the podcast. And I was like, yeah, and like, I don't mind Brie correcting me, but this last
week. We talked about it before.
I was like, this last week, I just flat out ignored her. Oh my goodness.
I thought you were getting annoyed with me, so I just stopped.
Back to the tapes. Every time you hear a ding, take a shot.
Vlad the Impaler.
Impaler.
Vlad the Impaler. Impaling them on stakes.
Impaling.
Oh, am I impaling? Thank you. The Impaler. Impaling. Who is going first this week?
I went first last week. I'll go first then.
Okay. I have a neighborhood story for you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
After I found it, I feel like we've already shared this one. So if we have, oh well.
Okay, that's fine.
It says, a neighbor decided to place a rotten sandwich on my porch. A sandwich that was not mine. So the next morning, I put it back on the curb where she found it. The next morning, the sandwich appeared on my welcome mat. I returned it to the curb. This kept going on for a week with the sandwich finding itself in my mailbox, wedged in my door screen, and finally my screen door, and finally ending with screams and threats being traded from our respective porches.
Oh my God.
Could this have all been avoided if I had just put the Arby's sandwich in the trash after Connie first put it on my porch? Absolutely. So this story is a story of two crazy neighbors.
You know, I briefly, if you told that one, I think it was like one of the first ones. That had to be like one of the first 10
like a long
neighborhood like a long stories. That one was a good one. I forgot about that. I think I remember that, maybe.
Yeah.
Possibly. That was a good one. Although she says her name and everything. Connie.
Connie. Freaking Connie.
God dang it.
Gosh dang it. Okay. What story do you have for me?
All right. Oh, yeah, guys. This episode, we're doing hometown horrors. This one I found on Reddit, and it's called, I Called the Devil. Yes, you read that right. I called the devil. When I was 13, I was into some pretty dark stuff. I guess you can say I was borderline a Satan worshiper. I came from a very broken home, my brother and I fending for ourselves too often. One weekend, when my mom was out and on a bender and my brother was out with his friends, I decided to have a seance, because that's what you do on a Friday night. Not only to see if anyone could talk to me, that is so sad, but to see if the devil would talk with me. I had candles and my Ouija board ready to go. I began with the typical, hello, is anyone here with me? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Can you give me a sign you're here with me? Nothing. 6 minutes in and I'm annoyed, so I start to provoke it. Show yourself. Come hurt me. Don't be a bitch.
Oh my gosh.
And finally... Oh. I call on Satan, and right on cue, my candles blew out with a gust of wind. The room is silent, and I am feeling a little badass. I provoke it more. Is that all you got? Then, to follow, my bedroom door slams shut, and I hear something heavy running toward me. The next thing I know, I'm on the ground and have no control over my body. I feel nothing but rage. I begin destroying my bedroom. My older brother comes in to pull me out of this trance-like state. The next few days, I didn't feel like myself. I couldn't sleep because I would constantly hear growling and see a black figure in the corner of my room. I eventually told my brother what had happened, and he immediately calls his friend's parents, who insist on taking me to their church. Not being a believer, I was not convinced this would help, but went anyway. I was desperate. When we went to the church, I passed out before even going in. Next thing I know, I'm awake, sweating violently, shaking, strapped into a chair, and the priest is yelling commands and prayers at me. I don't remember a lot of what happened, but my brother said this would forever haunt him. He said he didn't know I was capable of making such low growling noises and heard voices and languages out of me that weren't me. Eventually, it must have worked. I was clean of demons and I found a new faith in the Catholic Church.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's a good one.
I don't like that one.
Don't play with Ouija boards or, you know, try to provoke the devil.
Okay. I won't. So this one I actually found on page called Murder Minute, and it's like essentially like a website that takes true crime stories and then condenses them into like supposedly a minute read, but this one was not a minute read.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
So,
sure.
Okay. So it says, I'm going to tell you about James and Helen Peterson. James was born July 29th, 1902, and Helen was born to Ernie and Angus Walker on March 12th, 1906. August 1932, James worked at a financial firm on Wall Street, and Helen was a homemaker. They owned an apartment in the Upper East Side of New York. They were the typical 30s couple. She minded her P's and Q's, and he called the shots in the house, you know, kind of like, ooh, I'm the husband. Helen.
Ooh, I'm the husband. Just like that. That's how it was in the 30s, guys. The women minded their P's and Q's, and the husbands would husbands.
The husband would husband. So Helen had a friend who was also their neighbor that would often come over for tea in the afternoon. Her name was Margot. She was a widow. Her husband died in a helicopter crash on his way to a meeting for work in New Jersey.
What?
Her husband, what?
So random.
Like, he was on his way to a meeting and he was in a helicopter.
By helicopter. I don't know. That sounds really random. Hey, I'm gonna go to work today. Let me go jump in the helicopter.
Took it as yes. They worked for a financial firm and they lived in the Upper East Side. I was like, how is that not? Have you never seen 50 Shades of Grey? He flew that chick from wherever on the helicopter.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so she was a widow. Her husband died. Her husband also had worked with James at the financial firm. So I hadn't gotten that far in That's why. So they're neighbors. Gotcha. He's rich. He works at a financial firm on Wall Street, blah, blah, blah. But he had died. So James and Margot's husband, Daniel, they worked together, but they didn't like each other. And it mainly stemmed from competing at work. But Daniel also didn't like James because Daniel knew that Margot was in love with James.
Oh.
Essentially, I took that as like he didn't like the man that his wife loved. That makes sense.
That's fair.
Yeah. So Daniel also wasn't a strict husband like James was. He let Margot do whatever she wanted. He didn't expect dinner hot and ready when he came home. In fact, he would often get upset if Margot tried to do things like that for him. He was very before his times, was all about equality and women's rights.
Good job, Daniel.
Daniel's dead. James is alive and is strict.
He was right. Okay. Gotcha.
So on August 18th, 1932, James set off on his 23-minute drive to work. He kissed Helen goodbye, and that was the last time Helen ever saw her husband for multiple months. Around 12 p.m., Margot came over for her usual afternoon tea with her best friend. The girls were laughing and chatting it up. Fast forward to around 5:30, James didn't walk through the front door. So Helen foiled up his rump roast dinner and put it in the oven to keep it warm. 8 p.m. rolls around, 9 o'clock, and finally at 11 p.m. she puts herself to bed. She assumed things got hectic at work and he decided to sleep at the office. They had been married for about 10 years now, and he's been at the firm for 8 of the years, and he has done this a handful of times. So she wasn't super concerned just yet.
Right.
But when he didn't come home the next evening, she decided to make a police report. 7 p.m., the New York City police issued a missing persons alert for nearby agencies. Hospitals were notified, and places he would often visit were asked to be on the lookout for him. His work confirmed that he left at 5 p.m. on the 18th and never came in the next day. Margot held Helen's hand as she cried herself days in and out. Around week 4 of James being missing, Margot started to not come around as much. She was missing her afternoon teas every few days, and eventually she told Helen she needed to move on, that James had simply disappeared in the middle of the night to start over. Helen had a hard time believing this and was offended Margot would even suggest that theory. So she asked Margot to leave her house and to give her space. And Margot honored her wishes. 2 months goes by and Helen was feeling very lonely. So she goes over to Margot's apartment to apologize and rekindle their friendship. Margot answered, stepped into the hallway and shut the door behind her quickly. She told Helen she would meet her over at her place. She needed to get dressed and take the split pea soup off the stove. So Helen heads back over to her place and waits for Margot to arrive. She puts the kettle on the stove and brews Margot's favorite tea. An hour goes by and Margot still hadn't arrived. So Helen started to think about how odd Margot acted when she went over there. And Margot opened the door and stepped outside into the hallway quickly. Then she realized that she had not been over to Margot's house since Daniel had passed. So Daniel's Margot's husband.
Right.
So she gets the courage to go back over to the apartment and demand to be let in. So she heads over, but Margot doesn't answer the door. Helen then got a feeling something was very wrong. So she gets the building maintenance man, explains that she was worried Margot may have fainted because they were supposed to meet and she never showed up.
1930s things.
Oh, so 1930s. She fainted right onto her fainting couch. the door. The maintenance man unlocks the door, and when they open it, a strong odor overwhelms them. Uh-oh. So much so that the maintenance man was throwing up. Margot was laying lifeless on the couch. Helen attempted CPR on her, but she was not successful. The local police were notified, and while they were on their way, Helen makes her way to the kitchen, and she found a bowl of split pea soup that was half eaten with Margot's favorite glass next to it. She walks into the spare bedroom, which was untouched since Daniel passed away, which was like his office. She walked into the bedroom, and there she finds James.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, so
alive?
She walked.
Or dead.
She found James. He was naked. He was nothing but skin and bones. His feet and arms were bound. His neck was chained by a dog collar to the wall. He wasn't conscious, but he had a pulse.
What?
Paramedics rushed him to the hospital. He was in a medically induced coma for 3 weeks while doctors brought his body back to a healthy state. They found arsenic in his system, but not enough for him to be killed by it. And he also had multiple types of opioids in his system.
Oh my gosh.
When he was finally able to tell the officers his story, this is what he said. August 18th, he was on his way home from work, but his usual driver, who takes him to and from work, was not there to pick him up. It was Margot.
Oh, okay.
Margot had told him Helen had something special planned for him, so he got into the vehicle and questioned Margot where she learned to drive, because women didn't drive back then. He was like, "Where'd you learn to drive, Margot?" And she claimed that Daniel had taught her as a birthday present the year before he passed. She told him to drink some of the champagne to start celebrating early on the drive back to the apartment. So he took a couple of sips and instantly felt like he had been drugged.
Oh, okay.
Margot helped him out of the car and up to the floor, to their floor. But instead of taking him to his apartment, she took him to hers. That is when she bound him and chained him to the wall. She kept him drugged just enough to keep him from talking, but was conscious enough to know what was happening around him. She raped him every day he was there, multiple times a day. She would force feed him only split pea soup. Every day she would dress him in a suit and a tie and comb his hair over. She would wear a dress, heels, and pearls every day. She would bring him over to the dining table for breakfast and dinner, and there is where she would force feed him the split pea soup. She would force a cigar into his mouth and sit him on the living room couch and put a newspaper in his lap. And at night, she would chain him to the bed, and she would sleep next to him. He said that happened every single day he was there. When she would leave the house, she would force feed him more drugs to knock him out. And he also told the officers that Daniel's helicopter, remember her husband died in a helicopter crash?
Right.
Daniel's helicopter was not, the crash was not an accident. Margot had told him during his captivity that she made little treats for the passengers and the pilot on board, and when the pilot ate it, he passed out, which caused the crash because she had poisoned the cookies. Eventually, Helen and James were able to get back to a somewhat normal life, but 2 years after being found, James took his own life in January of 1935.
Ooh.
And that is James and Helen Peterson.
That was a good one.
That was crazy.
Ooh, yeah, especially for the 1930s, man. She cray cray.
She crazy.
She crazy. Yeah. That girl's crazy, man.
That girl's crazy.
Okay. Mine is about, don't knock me on my facts, it's in like the medieval times. But it's about these group of witches, or a clan of witches, I don't know. So, they are called the Dathomir Witches. Just a little stuff about them. They were divided into a number of distinct clans. The clans were named after, like, regional landmarks that they were around.
Yep.
And they developed their own set of laws around Common Core and would teach everybody these. The clans raided each other for mates. So the number of clans fluctuated somewhat over time in 800 AD, and were more than a dozen. There were more than a dozen clans by 1200 AD. The number had been reduced to 9. Did I just say that? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. My head's flomp, flomp.
You're very fine.
All right. So each Dathomir clan was based in a fortified village at or near its landmark. Women served as warriors and leaders, with leadership typically held by the eldest in the clan. Men, wow, this is like a hen hater episode. Men were used only for breeding and slave labor, clad in nothing more than leather aprons and scanty tunics were worn. Typically, warriors were expected to find mates by capturing runaways or slaves from other clans. So that's what I was talking about in the beginning, is like they could take the other clans, like men.
Yeah.
But they were just used for breeding. But the leading clan sisters could purchase men from each other. And if a mate could not be persuaded to love his owner, they would basically like divorce them by selling them to another woman. Anyway, so the only way men could go free is if they saved the life of a woman in this clan. That's just a little bit about them. I thought that that was pretty cool. The witches started making themselves known when they started casting like spells and stuff that affected areas. The one involved a spell, for example, that was called a Tempest, where the Dathomir would manipulate the elements and would generate enough energy to like make massive storms. So this was just one of the many things that was a huge threat to those who crossed paths with them. They were even able to make people like have illusions and force people to believe and do things that they desired. So they were turning into like a big threat and getting more known around the area. Finally, around 1200 or 1280 AD, King Edward I sent in spies to infiltrate the Dathomir clans, taking out almost all, including children. The remaining leaders had traps placed over their mouths to prevent them from casting, then forced them to endure serious torture methods, including the Judas Cradle, which involves forcing the victim's anus or vagina onto a sharp spike and increasing the pressure.
I really don't like that.
That's when they disgusting. Added weights. And it would tear their insides of the victims apart. They also would do a torture method called the thumb screw, which is a torture device involving placing a screw over or through the victim's thumb and turning it. That sounds terrible.
I don't like that.
lastly, the popular torture device, the iron chair, was a chair containing hundreds of sharp spikes. The victim would be strapped onto the chair, and as the straps were gradually tightened, the spikes would tear deeper into the flesh.
I don't like that.
As you can imagine, they eventually were completely wiped out, and there's no more, obviously no more Dathomir witches. I don't know if they were actually witches or was just women who knew algebra, so
and hated
who
men.
Knows? And hated men.
Brie, I don't like that.
Yeah, sorry. I thought all the torture methods were very interesting. I was like, ooh, gross. That's terrible.
Ooh, gross. That's cool.
They're pretty intense.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Okay, so this one's kind of short, but it says, on November 25th, 2022, 18-year-old Ash Cooper, a transgender woman formerly known as Joshua Cooper, was cleaning out her dad's safe and sorting through the guns and ammunition before her friend Morgan Connors was dropped off at Ash's home in a trailer park in Bellsalem, Pennsylvania. The two were hanging out watching Netflix when Morgan got up to go to the bathroom. Did I say how old? Morgan's 12 years old.
Hanging
out with an 18-year-old, which is very not cool. Okay. So the two were hanging out when Morgan got up to go to the bathroom. That is when Ash decided to kill Morgan. She shot Morgan at the neck and the upper chest area. At the time, neighbors heard gunshots but didn't think anything of it. Ash then got on Instagram on an Instagram call video chat with her friend and was bragging about what she had just done. In the chat, Ash flipped the video image and showed the legs and feet of Morgan covered in blood. Ash then asked her friend for assistance with cleaning up the scene and disposing of the body. Her friend, which was a very good human, told her mom, and her mom called the police. When authorities arrived, they found Ash running out of the back of the trailer, but eventually she was found and taken into custody. Officers went inside the trailer and found Morgan's body on the bathroom floor with gunshot wounds and signs that substantial steps were taken to clean up the crime scene. She pled guilty to a list of charges, including third-degree murder, possession of an instrument of crime, and tampering or fabricating physical evidence, and is facing 15 to 40 years in state prison.
Oh my gosh. Jeez.
Is that crazy?
Yes. Why did she shoot her?
I don't know.
That poor baby.
Try to find more.
She died?
The girl, yeah.
Oh, poor baby.
I know.
Jeez, that's crazy. Okay, my next one is about
a
haunted...
I hope it's another male-hating one.
It kind of... It's not really, no, it's not. Okay, anyway. Okay. In 1973, a small-town preacher somewhere in Kansas went to see... Why didn't I put the name of the town down? I don't remember what town. Okay, anyway. Somewhere in Kansas, somewhere. It's a town. A preacher went to see if he could put a well-known haunted house to rest in their town. So I guess, like, everybody had gone to, like, there's, like, this haunted house that people would, like, stay at. And no one could, like, stay there overnight and last the night and all this stuff. And he was just trying to go there and, like, bring it to peace. Anyway, so
I see what you're saying.
He wanted to take on the job.
These people are like, we're gonna stay here, we know it's haunted,
yeah,
kind of for the thrill. Oh my
yeah.
gosh, we couldn't stay overnight. Oh well, still had a great time. And he's like, enough
yeah.
fun.
Typical
no more
small
fun
town
you.
1970s stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this guy took his Bible, went to the house, and he went there, built himself a fire, lit a lamp, and he sat there and he read his Bible. Then just before midnight, he claimed that he heard something coming from the cellar. He heard something pacing. It sounded something was pacing back and forth.
Okay.
Then it sounded like somebody was trying to scream and then just
trying
like,
to scream?
Trying to scream, but got like choked off. So it was like, I don't know.
Okay. That's... I was picturing.
Oh, maybe that. Maybe that's what it means. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
So then there was a lot of thrashing and sounds of like a struggle, and then everything just got quiet, just like that. So the preacher took up his Bible again, and before he started reading, he heard footsteps coming up the cellar stairs. He
okay.
sat watching the door to the cellar, and he could hear it getting closer. He then claimed he saw the doorknob turn, and when the door began to open, he jumped up and yelled the typical, "What do you want?" The
what
door
do you
shut
want?
Back. The door shut back, and the sound stopped. Obviously scared shitless, he did what preachers do, and he opened up his Bible. After a while of nothing, he got up and started tending to the fire. So everything stopped after he started reading the Bible, and then he started tending to the fire. He's like, whatever.
Okay.
So not long after, he heard more walking again up the cellar stairs. He watched the door, and the doorknob started to turn, and the door opened again. He described the figure as a young woman. He backed up and said, "Who are you? What do you want?" The figure swayed like she didn't know what he meant and just dissipated before his eyes.
Okay.
Nothing more happened for a bit, I guess. So eventually he went to shut the door back. He watched and waited again until it all started over again with the footsteps till they came to the doorway. And then this time he held out his Bible in front of him and he watched the door open by itself. And he said, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, who are you and what do you want?" The figure came right across the room to him and grabbed his coat. Mm-hmm. It was a young woman. There's mm-hmm. a woman about probably about 20 years old. Her hair was torn and tangled, and the flesh looked like it was dropping off of her face.
That's disgusting.
He could see her bones and part of her teeth. She had no eyeballs, but there was a sort of like blue light coming out of her eye sockets. Ew. And she had no nose to her face. And he then darted out of the home, refusing to go back again. Because, of course, this is why people don't last long in it. A few weeks later, after inquiring about this figure and the home's history, it was discovered that there was a murder there of a young woman. And after deep investigation, police had found the remains of the woman on the property. And that's it for that one. Yep.
So she, like nothing happened? Like...
Yes, correct. Well, no. He left. He got scared and left.
But he didn't finish the job. So I just feel like the story is not.
No, he did not scare away the ghost. The no, because he left. Because he got scared.
Bro. I don't like it.
Bro. Thought you had Jesus on your side.
Thought you had Jesus on your side.
Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Come on now. But
even Jesus was like, nah, dog, I'm not messing with that. She seems scary. Okay, so this is about Joan Appleton. She was a first-time mother. She was 8 months pregnant and excited. Together with her husband, Frank, she ran a business breeding cats in her home in Texas. She also worked at a local manufacturing plant in Marysville. Did I already say that they're in Texas? They live in Texas. Okay. Yeah. But the couple needed all the money they could get for this new baby that was on the way. Joan had spent years watching her cats give birth to litters of kittens. She had seen friends and family members give birth to beautiful children. Finally, after a year of marriage, it was her turn to give birth. Her excitement was almost impossible to contain, even at 8 months when the pregnancy was beginning to take its toll. Joan was happily chatting about her soon to arrive baby. One place where she shared her excitement was an online chat room. It was named Coon Cat Chats, a place where like-minded people could talk about Maine Coons. Chatting online, she encountered another user, Terry Montgomery, from New Mexico. The two women had plenty in common. Not only did she share a love of Maine Coons, they were also about to have children. As Joan talked about her pregnancy, Terry said that she too was expecting a child. But that was a lie. Terry loved children. That's why when talking online, she was so happy to talk about pregnancy. The conversation turned from Joan's business, which she was happy to promote online, her happy coon haven. She always talked about how they were always finding homes for cats every week and plenty of people came and went from the house. That's why on December 16th, 2004, she happily opened the door to welcome a stranger into her home. It was Terry. Terry was a middle-aged woman with sandy brown hair. She wore glasses and very little makeup. But on that morning, she wasn't Terry Montgomery. She had talked to Joan using a false name, Darla Fisher, and expressed an interest in buying a kitten. Joan opened the door, always... like she, you know, just a great host. She didn't recognize the stranger in front of her. She only knew the woman as Darla and knew that Darla was interested in a Maine Coon. And they were alone in the home. As Joan turned to guide the visitor through the house and towards the cats, she looked away. And Terry was like, this is my moment. She took a pink neon rope and struck her. Struck Joan with it. She wrapped the rope around Joan's neck and squeezed. No matter what Joan did, she couldn't break free. She felt the life slowly being choked out of her. Her hands felt like went to go like to check the baby, her belly, and like she could feel the baby kicking in her womb. But Joan eventually died. But Terry wasn't done. So, finding a knife, she approached Joan's dead body. She rolled Joan's body into a position and then started surgery on her.
Oh, my God.
She sliced open the woman's stomach, cutting deeper and deeper until she pierced the womb. Blood seeped out of Joan's body. Terry felt her hands become slippery, but she kept cutting with the knife like the murderous surgeon she was. She found the baby still living inside the mother. She carved away the dead woman's flesh. I'm so sorry. She carved away at the dead woman's flesh, slicing the umbilical cord, cutting the baby free. Looked like Joan's body had, her stomach had exploded. But the baby was alive.
That's what a C-section blood. Looks like.
Yeah. Soaked in blood, Terry removed the fetus from the womb. She held it close to her, felt the beat of its heart, and then she left, abandoning Joan's body in a pool of her own blood.
Oh, my God.
Joan's mother was the one that found her a couple hours later.
Oh, my God, her poor mom.
I know. She did call the police. While the authorities were speeding towards Joan's home, their sirens flashing, Terry Montgomery was heading back to New Mexico. She cradled the baby as she drove. For most women, trying to explain the sudden existence of a baby would be difficult, but Terry was not like other women. For months, she had been lying to her husband and everyone in her small town, and she would tell anyone that would listen that she was pregnant, even if she didn't look like it. Her husband, Calvin, had bought this lie. This wasn't Terry's first child, but it was his first child. So he was like, maybe she knows more about pregnancy than I do. Maybe she just carries it different. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
She even had images of ultrasounds printed out, and she would show people around town and show her husband of these ultrasounds that claiming it was her baby. Before leaving Texas, Terry had even used the internet to look up photos of cesarean sections. I don't know why, if it was to see where to cut or what, but Terry told everyone about her pregnancy, whether they were next door or online. Even when the people in the Maine Coon chat room asked her for photos of her cats, she'd lie and say it was too difficult to bend down to take photos when she was pregnant, which is like so stupid. Just pull a picture from online. But yeah. It was 2004, so maybe it was hard to. I don't know. When she reached Topeka, she called Calvin, her husband, and the way she told it was she had given birth while she was in Topeka. She had gone into labor prematurely. Now that she's given birth to a beautiful baby girl, she'll be home right away. All Calvin has to do was come pick her up. After giving birth, because she was in no condition to drive. Meanwhile, the police put out an alert. They quickly deduced the problem when they arrived at the scene, obviously. There was two people that were attacked, but there was only one body. So They're like, where's the baby? They contacted the FBI, hoping that the baby could be found alive, worried that the baby had been taken across state lines. The only suspect was the person who had made an appointment to buy a cat, Darla Fisher. Even though Terry had given a false name, authorities still had access to Joan's computers. So, acting on a tip from a person who had seen Joan's conversations on the cat chat room, they found the account of the person visiting the house. They traced the IP address, linking it to a phone number and an address, which brought them to Calvin Montgomery, Terry's husband.
Right.
Less than a day after the murder, the police rolled up outside of her house. They found Terry inside, just doing over her new day-old baby, surrounded by her very puzzled but delighted family. They're like, this is weird, right? Yeah. This is weird. She didn't have a baby 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Terry was arrested, and the baby, still alive, was returned to Frank Appleton, her father.
Oh.
DNA tested proved that the baby was the baby of the murdered woman. The baby survived. The family of Joan was distraught but relieved to get the baby back. And the Montgomerys were terrified to find out what Terry had done. They're like, "See, I told you it was weird. It was weird." I said it was weird.
I knew she didn't get pregnant.
Communities in Texas and New Mexico were appalled, and the media covered their murder relentlessly. During the trial, Terry's history was revealed to the world. She had been raised in an abusive household for years. Her stepfather had been secretly raping her. When Terry's mother found out about what her father had done, or stepfather had done to her, Terry's mom's like, "Obviously, you're the problem, Terry," and put a gun to her.
Oh.
So the mom wasn't great either.
Okay.
Even though Terry tried to escape the situation when she was 18, her only plan was to get married. But she had multiple failed marriages from resulting in more abuse. She ended up having 4 children and then decided to get her tubes tied. Despite all of that, she claimed to be pregnant on several occasions. And then this last one, she took it too far. The trial was short. Terry was sentenced to indefinite incarceration pending execution. She continues to appeal her sentence, but is likely to remain behind bars for the rest of her life.
Good. You suck, so Terry. Terry, sucks. Larry, Jerry, Gary, Harry, Mary.
I can't even imagine the thought of wanting someone else's child,
yeah,
to the point where you're going to murder them and pull the baby from that person's stomach.
How awful. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Thank you for sharing that, Amy.
You're welcome.
It's okay.
Anytime.
It's good. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Fine. Okay.
This next hear one, the last one
is from a Reddit user from 10 years ago. It says, wow. First time I ever tried to write this down. First time telling anyone outside the family. I'm leaving out time and location and some other details because I'm still scared of what might happen with it publicly, I guess. Summer before 8th grade, me and my 2 friends snuck out at midnight to go walk around the neighborhood and go see these girls on the next block who were having a sleepover. At least you didn't lie. We turn a corner in our neighborhood and there's this huge black blimp shaped thing in the sky, like the picture of the Heidenberg
It's actually pronounced Hindenburg,
but bigger than that and as close, if not closer. Completely silent, in the size of at least 4 to 5 football fields across. No exaggeration. Even though I was young, we stare at it entranced, asking each other over and over if we see it, which we all agree we do. Standing there frozen in one place, it's like a black polished gun metal. No lights, no sound, no nothing. It's just hovering there. And then I don't know what happened, but time clearly jumps. Next thing I remember is this craft/ship/government/experiment, whatever the hell it is, gone. And there's a tiny glowing white thing in the sky. Seemingly slowly.
That's
called a star. Seemingly slow. Just so you know. This is why he hasn't told the public. Seemingly slowly falling to earth with wisps of smoke coming off of it. Then 2 brand new black trucks with silver gearboxes on the back, like F-150s or S-10s, but nicer, came speeding down the street, going about 70 in a 25 neighborhood residential. Jeez. Then after that, I remember walking home to one of my friend's houses and going to bed. After that point, it was like 5 or 6 a.m. and the sun was coming up. We all had made a promise to tell my dad in the morning because he worked for the city, but we never did. I don't know what happened late in life with one of my friends who was there, but the other was my best friend, and we sort of made an unspoken pact never to talk about it. Don't know how or why we did that. We all grew up, and I sort of lost touch with them, too. We did reconnect over Facebook and such over the years, but it was like there was something between us neither of us wanted to touch or talk about. Looking back on it now, there's no way we could have been the only ones to see it. It wasn't that late at night, and it was over a heavily populated area. The idea of this has always scared me more than any sort of possible abduction scenario, that there were others and we're all voluntarily suffering a sort of collective amnesia, except in how we're not. I've thought about this hypnosis, yeah, but that scares me too. Plus, I'm not sure if I'd trust the results. I was just a kid, and I'm not sure if I could trust a hypnotist. What I do know, again, is that there's no way it was just the three of us who saw it. We're talking a huge thing hovering in the sky directly above hundreds of houses just after midnight on a summer weekend night. But nothing on the news, nothing in the paper, nothing on TV, no words spoken about it ever again by anyone. And that is all for that one.
That's strange to me.
Yeah, especially like that big.
No one talked about it.
Yeah, that's
maybe
crazy.
They were all sniffed paint and they all saw it together.
Do you want to hear my neighborhood story, or is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. This one was titled One Margarita, Two Margarita.
Give me one margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
A country song. No. Last week, my neighbors invited me over for tacos and margs. Who says no to that? Not me. However, this was a Tuesday, and I, like most normal people, had to work in the morning, so I figured I'd drop in and have a few tacos and two margs, then say goodnight. Except these people liked to party and weren't having it. They fought me on leaving and finally let me go after it was like 11:30 at night. When I got home, they clearly weren't done partying. They moved the party outside and had been blaring music. Being a decent person, I tried to text them that it was disturbing me. And of course, this only riled them up more. Before I knew it, it sounded like they were right at my back porch doing this. After about an hour, and it's now 2 a.m. in the freaking morning, they finally call quit. The next morning, I get up, exhausted as all get out, and find a pinata full of stuffed with dog poop on my front door. At my front door. Wow. The very next weekend, I found myself partying with them until 4 a.m. again, though. I'm pretty sure I'm just as crazy as they are. Like, but man, they're crazy.
Did we address the pinata full of poop?
The poo pinata?
Yeah. Because that would make me mad.
Yeah, right? I get so excited. Like, yeah, pinata. They gave me candy. No.
Don't do it.
Don't hit the pinata.
Okay, so tomorrow is April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brie, let's do two truths and a lie for our question.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay. I have a dismembered toe in a jar in my closet. Okay. I was once banned and escorted out by security from a mall. I once punched my best friend in the face.
I believe all of those.
Well, only two of them are true.
It's got to be the toe one. I feel like you couldn't handle that.
Ding, ding, ding. You know what? I used to work for a podiatrist. I have pictures of the toes on my phone.
I know. That's why I said it's believable, because you're weird like that.
Oh, wait. You said that was a lie or that was the truth?
That was a lie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a lie. I don't have a dismembered toe. I was not
but
allowed
I'm
to take one
like,
home.
It was hard. It was hard for me to believe it because, or not believe it.
I know, that's why I picked it. I was like, oh, she knew I worked for a foot doctor. Yeah. I think I've told you, I may have told you before, I got kicked out of the Destin Commons here, which is like an outdoor giant mall shopping area, for spitting off the parking garage roof. And yes. We got like escorted out by the security. And then when I was like, I'm not proud of this. And if you listen to this, I apologize. I punched her in the face once as a kid because my brother tried to rile us up and try to make us fight each other. And they thought it was funny.
And you did.
So we fought each other.
Did she fight back?
Yeah.
Did she punch you?
No. I don't think so. No? I don't remember. It was such a blur, but I remember at one point I punched her and I was like, oh wow, I took that too far. I think my brother probably got in trouble for it too. They were like, hey guys, fight. It was like my brother and then this neighbor kid. And they were like, hey, we want you guys to fight each other and you could be on each of our teams. And I was like, cool.
So here's mine. I once approached a famous Christian band and called them by the wrong band name, but then asked for a photo afterwards. I once peed in a Jack in the Box drive-thru. And then I once walked out of Walmart without paying for a $215 item.
See, this is not a good idea because I know you, it's the Jack in the Box one is the lie, right?
Nope.
Was it the Walmart? It's the Walmart one then.
It's the Walmart one.
Oh, you peed in a Jack in the Box in the drive-thru?
I had to pee so bad. And there was a long line and the lobby was closed because it was like super late at night. And I was like, I'm going to pee my pants. Let me out of this car. So I peed in the drive-thru.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. The Christian band one, I walked up to, I forgot who it was, but I walked up to them and I was like, are you all so-and-so? And they're like, no, we're so-and-so. And I was like, oh, can I get a picture with you?
So embarrassing. You're famous anyway.
You're famous. Can I get a pic?
They're like, that'd be like us if someone was like, oh my God, are you so-and-so or are you this actually famous podcast?
Yeah.
No. No, we'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, we are. We are. And that's why we drink.
Yeah.
I think it was like, are you guys Reliant K? And they're like, no, we're Hillside Song. And I was like, oh, can I get a pic?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
So we didn't tell you guys this in the beginning, but we also did something similar for our stories.
I'm gonna say it on the count of three. Okay.
Ready?
One, two, three. April Fools. That never works out.
No, it doesn't. I don't know why you had a
Fools.
So we did, our stories were not real except for one.
Yeah. Accurate.
So, do you want to guess what? Can yes. I guess what one yours is?
Which one is the truth? Yes. Go for it. I feel like mine were really good. Mine was the one about the calling the devil and the one about the Dathomir witches. And then the one about the haunted house with the priest or the preacher. And then the last one was the UFO.
Yeah. I think that the priest one was real. No. Mm-mm. I think it was the witches.
Nope.
What? Which one was it?
The UFO.
Really?
That one was actually one from Reddit. So I want to tell you the Dathomir witches. That's a Star Wars thing. Josh had the idea of that. He's like, you should talk about the Dathomir witches from Star Wars. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. So I did like a little backstory on them and made them seem like they were from the medieval times. And then the haunted house one is actually from one of my favorite childhood books, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah,
by Alvin Schwartz. But it's the story is called The Haunted House. bit. It's a little. Oh. I changed a couple of words.
Oh.
And then the first one I made up.
Yeah. Those are all so good.
Yours were too. I'm so confused on which one is the truth, but I'm gonna guess.
So I have we had Margot and Helen, and then we had Ash and Morgan with the Instagram, and then we have Joan and Terry, the baby killer, the snatcher.
So I don't think your first one is true, because I still don't think people actually take helicopters to work.
It was a meeting. And it makes sense not to drive to New Jersey if you have a work helicopter
in the 1930s?
To take you to this. Yeah, do prob.
Oh.
That one was I don't know why that made that one up.
Like stuns me. It was good. I love the split pea soup. That one was really that was like a good little touch. I'm gonna say, oh man, the other two were very believable, because your second one was like short, but it was like to the point, to where it sounded like a quick little news article. But the second one, I've heard about stuff like that happening before. But you did have a lot of details in it. I'm going to say the pregnant one was the truth one.
The true one was the Instagram story. She was just sentenced a couple days ago for it.
Good.
Or pled Glad guilty to it a couple days ago. But you're not far off on the third one either, Bree. Because that was actually a real story, but I just changed the names and where they live.
Yeah, I've heard that before then, yeah.
Isn't that so disturbing?
You just
changed
a couple of facts around. That is disturbing. That's disgusting. Both of those. All three of those.
Well, the third one, the first one was not real. So apparently people don't take freaking helicopter to a meeting.
Yep.
Heaven forbid.
I had to at helicopters.
That's like the most believable part of the story. Not the fact that like she was keeping this. She just had like an abundance amount of arsenic. Just like there's so many holes in the story, Brie. But get on the freaking helicopter.
She made treats for the pilots. And they just like fell asleep.
Yeah, because he passed out from the drugs. That's believable. But how is she to know that they're going to eat it on the plane?
That's
or
true.
The helicopter.
Yep.
Jeez.
That was good. That was a good one.
Oh, I had fun with it. For
Me
sure.
Too. Me too. Also, all those torture methods are real.
It's
gross. There's so many gross ones.
It's actually
picked, like,
not
the
real.
The three most disturbing ones. Yeah, they were real in the medieval times.
Oh, in the mid... Oh, no way.
Yeah, those were real. Those were actual torture methods.
I love it.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Don't do anything bad.
Happy April Fool's Day. Also, happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter, I guess.
Because this comes out on Easter. And, you know, happy Easter. I hope you're enjoying things.
Well, so Brie was like... Okay, can I tell them? Brie was like... Hey, so we had planned to do the April Fool's one, but also it comes out on Easter. Should we do an Easter one? And I was like, no, I don't like Easter. I'm the devil, apparently.
She's the devil.
I was like, I don't like celebrating the
She's
death
like,
of
why
Jesus.
Why are we celebrating the death of Jesus? And I was like, we're not celebrating the death of Jesus. We're celebrating his resurrection.
Which is fine, but like, it's such a boring holiday. It really is. Like, okay, so if you don't think about it as like a Christian or Catholic point of mind, it's like bunnies and ducks and bright colored pastel colors and cute little eggs, and it's The food is gross. Like, who's eating ham, like, willingly when it's hot out? And, like, you have to, like, do daytime activities, like Easter egg hunting during the day? And you have to, like, wear cute little dresses. I just don't like it. Like, but, I've never been excited about Easter.
I'm not. Now that Charlotte's getting older and, like, learning more stuff about, like, Jesus and stuff, she's like, I don't know. She drew a picture of a cross the other day and Jesus on it because she just learned about how. And she's like, look, Mom, I drew a picture of Jesus. He's on the cross. And I was like, oh. And she's like, it's about Jesus' death. And I was like, oh. And she drew him smiling. I was like, that's really good, sweetie.
Okay, let's get a little religious charged. Jesus was happy to die on the cross for you.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
So maybe he was smiling when he died.
Maybe. It just weirded me out. Did I send the picture to you?
No.
I sent it to you. She drew it in her school journal, too, because she got to draw whatever she wanted and write about it. And she wrote, Jesus died on the cross. And then she drew Jesus smiling on the cross.
I am all for religion. I love being
also,
a Christian.
We're not pushing religion on anyone, guys.
No,
we don't care.
But I just don't like Easter.
Considering Amy is a Christian and she doesn't like Easter, so we don't give a shit.
It's stupid. And, like, we should celebrate every day that he died on he rose from the dead, yeah, and died on the cross for our sins. That should be celebrated every day.
That's
not
right.
Just on Easter. Just
like, I should be celebrated every day. I'm a blessing.
Yeah, you are. We're gonna go now. That was perfect. Let's leave it at that. Have a great Easter, everybody.
Hey guys, don't forget to share our podcast and go give us a rating or a review or something on iTunes, please, and Spotify, because we have like none. We really need you guys to like step it up.
We need you.
So. And also send in your listener / hometown horror stories, because we love hearing your stories, your personal stories of true crime, paranormal.
You know what? We know people listen. So it's very disappointing that you guys aren't doing what we're asking.
That's right. We are disappointed in you guys. We know you are listening. Well, you know, happy Easter.
Have you on the neighbors?
What's with the neighbors?
Bring Amy
out.
Out.
That was actually good.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy.
Say hi to your cats for us.
Oh, yeah. Don't get dead. Meow.